The time being 7 o'clock, the remote hearing of the redistricting committee for December 2nd will come to order. I am State Representative Mary Murphy, and I am proud to be the chair of the redistricting committee. It only happens once every 10 years. Thank goodness for that. Our forefathers never dreamed it would be like this when they said every 10 years we have to have the census taken. But I won't bemoan anything because, as I said, I am very proud to be the chair of this committee and doing the work of the people of Minnesota in the counting and the use of the information that we have received from the federal censuses that were taken by our very loyal and cooperative volunteers and workers in Minnesota for this count, which greatly by over 402,000 people, additional people counted in Minnesota than at previous countings. So we're very lucky we had such good counters. Mr. Borsari, will you please call the roll, but note that Representative Olson, Representative New Brindley, Representative Torkelson, Representative Munson are excused or at least tardy. And Representative Greenman.
We noted. All right. Chair Murphy.
Present.
Vice Chair Cleborn.
Present.
Representative Torkelson is excused. Representative Bonner is excused. Representative Garofalo. Representative Garofalo. Representative Greenman will be arriving later. Representative Igo. Present. All right. Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Long.
Present.
Representative Munson will be excused. Representative Nash.
Present.
Representative Munson's here as well.
Oh, hello, Representative Munson. Thanks for saying hello. All right. Representative O'Driscoll.
O'Driscoll present.
All right. Representative Olson's excused. Representative Sandstead.
Sandstead present.
Representative Schultz.
Schultz present.
Representative Stevenson.
Present.
Representative Vang.
Present.
And Representative West is excused. Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you, Representative Borsari. We have our minutes from our previous meetings ready for adoption. They've been posted. Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the adoption of the minutes for the December 1, 2021 meeting be adopted.
All right. Are there any discussion or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the minutes as printed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and the minutes for December 1 are adopted. Representative Munson, do you have your hand up? No, it's
No, Madam Chair, sorry.
Just your active picture. Thank you very much. Tonight's meeting, as the agenda says, is a public hearing to hear the views of the people of Minnesota on the proposed maps that were released on November 19th. That map was designated map L2101-0. And the November 23rd map, which was the congressional districts, that was designated map C2101-0. And as I mentioned when I released the maps, I believe that the proposals are the people's maps because we listen to their testimony and we use their testimony as a guide for how the maps should be. Not just with that, but we also use the data that was provided to us by the state demographer and the federal government on our census data that came to Minnesota in late August. As a result of the hearings and of our hard work and our discussions on what the principles should be, we created these maps that are before us and that we are taking testimony on tonight. I feel very well, very good about how we have adhered to the principles. And the one that's the strongest, I think, is the minimal deviation for population as it relates to the new ideal district sizes. Minnesota's population grew by 7.6%, or as I said at the beginning, 402,569 people in addition to what we had when we started the year. 78% of the growth statewide was concentrated in the 7-county metro area. That created shifts in every single district in the state. And there are 67 A districts and 67 B districts in the maps that I introduced on November 19th and 23rd, or whatever data was. But every single district either shrunk or grew in territory because of population shifts. Some people moved from northern Minnesota to southern Minnesota. Some people moved from southern Minnesota to metro Minnesota. Some people moved from metro Minnesota to northeast Minnesota, to the Arrowhead country. Some people moved from their cabins to their city homes. Their city homes out to the cabin. They're still Minnesotans. And they all deserve to be counted. And their votes in their areas that they're assigned to be voting districts have to be counted. Every voice counts. Every voice, vote should count. And it is the responsibility of this committee and the charge of this committee to adopt the maps that reflect the people and where they live in the state of Minnesota. Some districts doubled in size. Some districts shrunk, became very small. Compared. But every voice should count, and our actions with the drawing pen for each district, although we have to have them compact and competitive, we also have to have them inclusive. So that people know their neighbors. And their neighbors can reach out to make sure that they're in the right areas for their voting areas. We're mindful of the communities that have shared their identifiable interests and gather in the community spaces, but we're also aware of the transit corridors that go from one end of the state to the other and across the state. Although in some areas of the state, the transit corridors are bumpy, or they only have one kind of transportation that they can take to get from one end of the area to the other end of the area. And so new common interests grow up. How can we get a new road? How can we get the train coming up or going down from our area? So the interests of the people are constantly changing as much as the changes are taking place in the population and the shifts in population and the ripples that take place, because some areas have much better housing, much more available housing than other areas. And it's up to our committee to listen to these voices as they speak out. And for the next 10 years, we'll be speaking out in their new districts. We are empowering the voters by the maps that we adopt. We are open and honest in our sincerity to deliver. This is our last public hearing, and we've had many. And not only have we had them, but the Senate has had a few, the Minnesota Senate. And the courts had 10. And this committee has listened in on the voices of the people that spoke at those meetings, as well as the people that are speaking out tonight. And we don't forget what was said because the meeting is over. We keep referring back to the voices that have spoken out, that have taken their time to inform us and ask us to please think about what they're saying and how it reflects the total township or the total city or the total county or the trail board or the regional commission. Or the joint commissions that are taking place all over the state for very special purposes. And drawing people together for the decisions that they're making. This is important work that's called upon the legislature every 10 years. And I don't intend to shirk our duties. That being said, let me remind you again that in 2012, the ideal House district size was 39,582. In 2021, the ideal size of a House district is 42,586 people. The largest House district is 42,953, and the smallest House district is 42,217. So that shows that we are adhering to less than the 1% deviation of the population in every district. The map also shows that we maintained the 13 minority opportunity districts that we've developed since 2012. And on this map, we kept those 13 minority opportunity districts, and we added 8 new districts to the previous list. So we have a total of 21 minority opportunity districts based on voting age and meet that principle. We listened to tribal leaders who urged us to keep our reservations together and our reservation lands together. These maps show that the attempt for that was made. When we had a crisis situation or a situation, we referred to school district lines, because we know that for families of Minnesota, school district lines are very, very important and keep people together. We're mindful of the places that communities have. Some were pointed out to us and some weren't. Some we need more information on. Even to this day, we need more information on. So these maps are not perfect. But these maps were created with very good intentions and with information available to us that could very well be changed. And that's why we have until next Tuesday for amendments available to this committee that's going to meet again on December 9th. So let us start by listening to the people of Minnesota and we'll start with the first person who is in the first, as the first testifier is Leland Rognes, chair of the Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners. Mr. Rognes.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, and in the interest of time, I have a prepared testimony to present for you, and I'll begin.
Thank you.
Madam Chair Murphy and members of the House Redistricting Committee, on behalf of Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners, I respectfully submit this testimony regarding the proposed House Redistricting map. During the last two redistricting cycles, Otter Tail County has been kept largely whole. All of Otter Tail County cities have been in one Senate district with one House district entirely within Otter Tail County. And currently, Otter Tail County Senate districts include Otter Tail County and part of Douglas County. Now, the proposed House map would split Otter Tail County in half and put it in two Senate districts with those senators representing parts of 11 counties. Now, I know there was a question about this yesterday, so to clarify, the clarification is that the proposed House map, the Senate for Senate District 5, would represent parts of following 5 counties: Otter Tail, Becker, Wadena, Hubbard, and Cass. The Senator for the Senate District 9 would represent parts of the following 7 counties: Otter Tail, Wilkin, Douglas, Grant, Travers, Todd, and Polk counties. We feel that Otter Tail's voice will be diminished significantly in this scenario. These legislators would need to follow the county agendas and priorities of so many counties that no county in these districts would have a clear representation. It is important for a county to have the ability to work closely with their elected officials and for those elected officials to have the time and the geographic proximity to their constituents. Also, communities benefit from being grouped together with communities that share common bond and common issues. The Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners believe it is critically important that Otter Tail County be kept whole when drawing new legislative districts. Otter Tail County cities, townships closely coordinate on economic development, public safety, the environment, and a host of other issues that bind us together as a community. Our many business groups, nonprofits, and other civic organizations use the Otter Tail County boundaries as their organizing boundaries. We want to make sure our legislative districts reflect how our communities are organized and work together in Otter Tail County. Now, as per the latest census, Otter Tail County is home to 60,081 residents. Otter Tail County is home to 22 cities and 62 townships and 12 different school districts, and is the second most populous whole county in the current 7th district congressional district. Otter Tail County is a diverse county with communities of many different populations and languages spoken across the county. We are a county with growing economic base, a job center, a tourism center, and a regional population center. Our county board knows that Otter Tail residents' voices will be stronger with legislative representation that is focused on the unique issues and opportunities facing our community. Historically, redistricting processes have recognized the importance of keeping Otter Tail County whole and together for legislative districts. We hope you'll be doing the same in this coming year of 2022. The Otter Tail County Board of Commissioners appreciates your consideration and dedication to a fair redistricting process. And I thank you for hearing my testimony this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much. I was looking at the map when I turned away.
Madam Chair, I'd like to say thank you as well, because it was my question last evening, I think, that caused the detailed testimony today. So thank you for that clarification, so I better understand your needs.
Thank you.
We also give you a star, Commissioner, because you listened yesterday.
Pardon me?
You were present yesterday.
Thank you.
So we appreciate that a lot, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing my testimony.
Yes. And thank you for submitting it in writing also, so I didn't have to take so many notes. Thank you. The mayor of Pelican Rapids is next, Brent Frazier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to testify before you and the committee this evening. I am a lifelong resident of Otter Tail County in the Pelican Rapids community, and I currently serve on the Otter Tail County Planning Commission. I see the redistricting maps are not favorable or the best interest of Otter Tail County or the city of Pelican Rapids. As Commissioner Ragna said, the last two redistricting cycles, Otter Tail County has been kept intact, and that has helped our population base feel more unified, having one state representative, one state senator. And I do feel also that Otter Tail County and the city of Pelican Rapids could lose much of its voice at the legislature if it was divided into two different districts. As mayor of Pelican Rapids, it is in my best interest to keep Otter Tail County intact. Pelican Rapids is a city of approximately 2,600 people. We gained approximately 160 people during this last census count. We are a very diverse city in culture, religion, and background. Many of our people that have immigrated here have difficulty with the English language, so there are special classes that are held at our high school to teach English to our new citizens. And I would see that if we had divided our county, or that this would be a hindrance to them as they are getting adapted to Otter Tail County, where the county seat in Fergus Falls, and who serves them in the state legislature. So I don't see that to be a benefit to them for the redistricting. Currently, we are, City of Pelican Rapids, I said we are 2,600 people, and of those 2,600 people, it's greater than 50% are non-white citizens. The new residents would be associated with different districts. As I said, it would bring much confusion to them. Otter Tail County and, excuse me, the City of Pelican Rapids currently has a Economic Development Committee. And within this committee, we represent actually two communities, the City of Pelican Rapids and the City of Earhart. In the one legislative map, the City of Earhart would be in a different district. And within our committee, we hold funds for both these communities. So I would see that as a hindrance to not only Pelican Rapids, but also Earhart, Minnesota. Currently, as the mayor of Pelican Rapids, I am associated with different mayors' meetings that we have on a monthly basis, where our elected officials come and we tell them our concerns, and they report back to us on what is happening in the legislature. And I see a great division that would take place with the splitting of Otter Tail County. As of now, we could say that Otter Tail County, we feel as one here, we feel like a family. And I see that the division would bring a disunity among the population base, not only in the county, but here in Pelican Rapids. A couple of years ago, Otter Tail County came up with a plan of 5,000 new homes built by the year 2025. And we had the honor to contribute the first 32 different living quarters that was built here in Pelican Rapids. And we worked together with Otter Tail County and at our in Fergus Falls with our tax abatement. Otter Tail County has provided tax abatements, as also has the City of Pelican Rapids. We also do much advertising together in Otter Tail County as different cities. There's a publication that came out a few years ago, and I'll put it up here. It's called Otter Tail County Lakes Country Magazine. And we do a lot of advertising in that magazine, as it represents every community in Pelican Rapids. Years ago, many of our cities were doing their own advertising, and we're probably doing duplications. We said, why not collaborate some of these efforts so we can advertise as one and to promote Otter Tail County as a whole? And by getting people to visit, to work, and to live in Otter Tail County, that they also migrate here to Pelican Rapids. We've seen much benefit of that thus far. So those are my talking points this evening. Again, I say we speak favorably to our current districting to keep Otter Tail County as one unit and not see any division in the future. So again, I would like to thank you for this honor to testify before you this evening. And if you have any questions, you can sure ask.
Yes, I would like you to say again, you were talking about your cultural people of different cultures, and you said there was what percentage was non-white?
It's over 50%. It's closer probably to 60% non-white. Okay. And that sort of changed in the 2010 census. We were probably 58% white, and now we're 58% non-white.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, may I ask one quick question?
Yes, you may. Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that I captured this correctly. When I'm looking at the map, you're talking about the township immediately south of Pelican Rapids. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So, that's just the clarification I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, you're correct.
All right. Anything else? Thank you very much, Mr. Fraser.
Thank you.
Carter Yost.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, we can. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, good evening. I hope you're well. Thanks so much for the chance to speak with you today. I'm Carter Yost. I use pronouns like he, him, and his. I am a resident of CD5. I'm a student at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and I'm the state president for the College Democrats of Minnesota. At an earlier House redistricting committee hearing back in August, as well as at a Senate district redistrict committee hearing in October, I testified on behalf of College Democrats of Minnesota and on behalf of college students and Democrats of Minnesota, urging the committees to consider and place particular conscious emphasis on the community makeup and the community values of students, campuses, and the surrounding neighborhoods that oftentimes house the tens of thousands of students that live, learn, work, and vote here in Minnesota. Now, looking at the standing map proposals from the House Redistricting Committee as they're brought today, both for the legislative and the congressional district boundaries, all things considered, I think that this committee has done a phenomenally good job of meeting that goal of maintaining campuses and student communities as what almost functions as a quasi community of interest. And I wanted to say thank you on behalf of College Democrats of Minnesota and on behalf of someone like myself who is a college student who believes deeply that it is important that young people vote and believe that their voice matters. Looking at a few instances that I think are notable, that I think are important to maintain as amendments get made and as proposals get edited before the 9th. In Northfield especially, I was incredibly happy to see the continued unification of the Carlton and St. Olaf communities rather than splitting the Northfield community among district boundaries as some have proposed. Recently, the National Study of Learning, Voting, and Engagement, one of the most comprehensive reports on student voting data available in the country, found that out of over 500 colleges and universities in 2020, it was St. Olaf College in Northfield that had the highest student voter campus turnout of any of those hundreds of campuses. Out of all of them, it was here in Minnesota, it was St. Olaf. They had over 88% of students voted. Just earlier today, the University of Minnesota Twin Cities was awarded the Democracy Cup for having had the highest campus turnout of any four-year public university in the state, with over 80% of students voting in the 2020 elections. Those stats and a lot of what the National Study of Learning, Voting, and Engagement study showed is that more than a lot of states that surround us and a lot of other states in the country, Minnesota and the young people who live here really do believe that their vote counts and their voice matters. And I think that that's important. Those turnout numbers are remarkable feats. And I'm proud that CDMN, you know, played a role in catalyzing those turnout numbers, but I really do believe that it is fundamentally due to a belief of college students and young people that it's worth participating in the system and that the system is not inherently and irretrievably broken. I think that district lines are a major part of that. And what I said back in August, what I said in October, what I'm saying today, it maintains that same message that our district lines have to be considerate of how college students are impacted by district boundaries. I think that the map from keeping McAllister and I believe it's Concordia and Hamlin together and St. Thomas is with another school and the University of Minnesota Twin Cities is kept whole, which I was glad to see across East and West Bank, that the University of Minnesota Duluth was kept whole. There are a lot of instances, almost every instance that I have found and other College Democrats have found, there is not a large fear or even a minor one that communities are going to be split or harmed or impacted negatively by the standing map proposals. And I think that is a really incredible feat that is worthy of celebration and is really important as the final decision gets made by this committee, that those campuses are kept in to an almost full extent the way that they are drawn in the current proposal. The students are a deeply valuable community asset to everybody here in Minnesota. And it's important that we remember that in the redistricting process. And as it stands, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe that the map proposals here today for the legislative and congressional district boundaries do an excellent job of remembering that. And I'm encouraged to see that. I'm hopeful to see that, understanding that there are people in an elementary school now who will go to college by the time that these lines expire. It is really important that we take conscious consideration of these things. And it's important that that voice is raised. So wanted to take a moment to say thank you on behalf of college students and College Democrats of Minnesota for maintaining community interests for college campuses. And I look forward to the final proposal on the 9th and doing the same thing and achieving that same goal. So thank you so much. And I am happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Have you studied the St. Cloud campus?
Right. So the split in St. Cloud is interesting for a few different reasons. And I think Senator Putnam might have some thoughts on this. Like, I think that the St. Cloud campus is a specifically interesting case study. I have our executive board was reaching out to the St. Cloud College Democrats to sort of get their chair's take on it. Ultimately, I want to make sure that community is spoken for. I haven't heard back from them yet. I know, looking at it on my own, I think all things considered, sometimes a split is necessary. And I think that this does an okay job of understanding that where campuses specifically and where student housing is. I was checking sort of nearby apartment buildings and student housing available in St. Cloud. I think that it is retrievable and workable. You know, we've run into issues in Minneapolis before where students get confused, like, oh, I crossed the street and all of a sudden I have to vote somewhere else. Like, sometimes it happens. I think the St. Cloud interest example might be a point of further consideration in really maintaining that goal, but I don't think it is a limit-breaking piece of interest, if that makes sense. Okay. Ultimately, I would defer to the students there and the community members there. But that would be my take from Minneapolis.
Well, we tried very hard to do that, but there are other things that entered in too. But I was wondering if you didn't name them, and so that's why I called on that, because I want you to know that in every part of the state where there's community colleges, we used your name and said, will Carter Yost like this or not? And we didn't have an answer or anything there, but we knew.
Now you know. You
probably were going to reappear. and we had, we certainly did want to hear your good words. And
well,
we appreciate that a lot. And we appreciate that you provide a testimony right along.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks again for your hard work on this, everybody in the committee. I'm incredibly appreciative of the work and time and effort that's gone into this. So thanks so much. Stay well, be hydrated.
I have my water here. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Carter Yost. Dennis Fisher. Mayor of Dayton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good evening.
And good evening.
My name is Dennis Fisher. I'm the mayor of the city of Dayton. After reviewing some of the proposed changes with the redistricting, I talked to our representative, Kristen Robbins, to see if we could get some time here to present our concerns. And here I am, and thank you for that. My two primary concerns are continuity and cohesiveness. I know my day job, I'm an engineer. I know there are times where you finish a large project and you get done and you button everything up and you suddenly realize, oops, here's a piece we missed. And I know a lot of work went into this, but I think our district has some glaring problems with it, and I'd like to kind of cover those. Our current district is fairly cohesive. We have a commonality of interest that centers primarily around our state of development. Maple Grove, Dayton, Rogers are doing a lot of development lately and will be for probably some time. Our cities also have a long history together. And so that district is the residential portion of Maple Grove. As I stated, there's a lot of development going on there. Rogers is the same story. Their development state is very much like Dayton's and will be for the next couple of decades. Many of Dayton's students attend Rogers schools. And many of the residents in Dayton that are not in that district open enroll in Rogers, which includes me. There's a lot of interaction between these cities' populations, and the school district binds quite a bit of us. I'm also a president of the Dayton Lions. We have a lot of activities that we share with Rogers, Maple Grove Lions. So it's an area that really shares a lot of common interests. The proposed district includes...
would you name that? What number is that?
21A.
Okay.
It moves our city entirely into that different district. Includes half of Champlin, which is fully built out, and I believe has completely different needs from the state than our city does. It includes a sliver of Ramsey, which is on the other side of the river. Again, you know, not a lot of commonality with our city, with Dayton. It also includes Anoka, which, you know, again, nothing in common with Dayton. And actually, given the geography of the river, the 169, it might as well be a non-contiguous area, even though it isn't. It struck me as a very odd combination. And to sum it up, I really feel it would be a disservice to our residents to end up with a representative that has to represent two or three areas of completely different interests rather than one cohesive area. Those are my comments, and I do thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you. Questions of anyone for clarification?
Madam Chair.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. Could I just ask, I just want to make sure I'm clear. You're asking that Dayton and Rogers be reunited. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying the new makeup of, so it ends up combining some of Champlin, Anoka, Dayton, whereas it was 34A, it was Rogers, Dayton, and the residential portion of Maple Grove.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seems like a significant change. And I know the redistricting, one of the goals is to keep, you know, similar interests kind of concerted so that we can, as I stated, our representative can kind of have a common goal.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure I had it. Yeah, it makes total sense. I just wanted to make sure I had that correct. Thank you so much.
Mr. Fisher, you said that you talked about open enrollment, and did you say your children are open enrolled in a school district that's not in Dayton?
Yeah, two of them are. One of them is actually in the Anoka district, but we will be open enrolling her in Rogers in one more grade.
Okay.
But yeah, two of our children went to Rogers. One graduated, one is in 11th grade right now. So, and like I said, we've got a lot of residents that do that. They're very happy with the Elk River district, with the Rogers schools. So it's a very common theme with people.
Okay. And does Dayton have a school district?
No, we do have a elementary school. And that's part of the reason why my youngest daughter goes there is because it's maybe a half a mile from my house, but when she gets to middle school, we'll open enroll her into Rogers.
We're happier
with that district. And it's actually more convenient for after school activities. It's much closer. That's the other thing about the school district is once we get beyond the elementary school, our middle schools and high school are quite a ways away from us in Dayton here. So, you know, there will probably be over the next 5 to 10 years, some rearranging of those things. Just, you know, at some point, the Anoka district will probably try to add some schools more closer to us, but for now, Rogers, I actually, when I grew up here, I went to Rogers too. So that's part of it. But there's so many things that, you know, we share with Rogers in that whole area.
Okay. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yep. Mark Robbie Champlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Robbie. I live in Champlin, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this committee. I've had an interest in redistricting for a while. I think it started, I don't know, a number of years ago when I noticed that the district I lived in appeared to be illegal in the sense that it was non-contiguous. I live in the far eastern part of Champlin. So I'm in what you would now, under the new plan, call 26B, along with parts of Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. I lived in Minneapolis for many years. And then in 2002, my wife and I moved to Coon Rapids, and we lived there for quite a while. It was in the same district at the time. Coon Rapids, Champlin, and Brooklyn Park were together as they are now. This was, you know, 20 years ago, and it was at that point called Senate District 47. And then in the redistricting of 2010, it became Senate District 36, but the lines didn't move very much. It was still a combination of about half of Coon Rapids and Champlin and the northern parts of Brooklyn Park. So the thing that I observed, though, when I was living in Coon Rapids, well, first, of course, Coon Rapids was split in half. Into two different Senate districts, but also to get to the other side of the district, to cross over from Coon Rapids to Champlin or Brooklyn Park, you needed to leave the district because of the placement of the bridges on the river there. You've got a bridge in Anoka, and you've got the 610 bridge there at 252 and 610. You have to leave Senate District 36 in order to go from one side of Senate District 36 to another. That is, unless you are on foot, you can go across the Coon Rapids Dam, or if you're on a bicycle, or if you're in a canoe, you can do it. But if you're in a car, you can't do it. So
yeah.
I did write to the Secretary of State a number of years ago and just point this out. I wasn't really expecting anything to happen. I wasn't even expecting anyone to reply. And in fact, no one did. I can't remember who the Secretary of State was at the time, but so long story short, as I look at the map now, I am very pleased that you fixed that problem. And I commend you on your work. And as others have said, this is, this is a tremendously difficult thing to pull off a map like, you know, any kind of redistricting map. It's just got to be a phenomenally complicated problem. I just think looking at my area of the map, it now makes a lot more sense. So true, Champlin is split in half. And, you know, perhaps that's not ideal, but the reality is that lots of cities are split in half in the redistricting process. And this looks to me like a wash because Coon Rapids is now unified. So you've traded one split city for another. I think that, you know, if you're going to split a city, do it the way you've done it, which is to draw the lines by school district. As I look at the lines of 26B, they make a lot of sense to me because they match, for the most part, they match the enrollment district of Champlin Park High School, or at least the eastern part of that. And I would have to say that as I live near the border of Brooklyn Park, but I'm a Champlin resident, but I feel like I am a member of a community that's far more determined by the school district I'm in than by the by the specific municipal boundaries. It just feels that way because, you know, we live fairly close to the high school, but we're involved with the kids in the neighborhood. And, you know, our own kids don't go to Champlin Park. They've long since left the nest, but we've become part of the Champlin Park high school community. You know, we root for the football team just because we know everybody and we know the kids, and it's just a real determinant of community, I think. So I like the lines of 26B because they essentially match the lines of the school district. And I think if you're going to have to split things occasionally like you are, that's the way to do it. So I really just wanted to make that point. Thanks for getting rid of this contiguousness problem. That's a plus. I think the people of Coon Rapids, of whom I know many from having lived there for 15 years, will probably thank you too, because they're now unified. But I think this district will work well for us here in Champlin and Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center as well.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your kind words and recognizing that we did make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. When I accepted the position, I never dreamed I would have to make sure that every district has bridges over the rivers that are contiguous. And when I found out that there are more than one where they weren't, I thought, oh no, do I have to go look at all bridges? But good thing I serve on the transportation committee, so I have a few phone numbers that I can just call and say, is there a bridge there? And I have done that in the last 2 months. Where are the bridges on this river, on this particular river? What school district do they belong to, or what city do they belong to?
Well, just to illustrate, my new house and my old house in Coon Rapids are 2 miles apart as the crow flies, but it's a 9-mile drive to go from one to the other, because you have to go way out to get to the bridge and then back.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, thank you for sharing your testimony.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Are there any? Okay, thank you very much. Angie Hansen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
You looked kind of scared before, and I know the feeling of scaredness because I was frightened this afternoon about something, and I thought, oh no, I can't start the meeting until I find an answer. So I've got it, and so let's both take a deep breath and
I welcome you
to the committee.
Thanks. Thank you for all your hard work, and thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Angie Hansen. I reside in Albert Lea, and I'm a teacher in Glenville. I live and I work in Fribourne County, where I live in Albert Lea and in Glenville, where I work, are both currently in House District 27A and Senate District 27. After reviewing the proposed district lines, I propose you to reconsider our area. I feel strongly that Fribourne County is a community of interest that should be kept intact as much as possible in a house district. Except for one township, this is currently the case. With the new proposed lines, we will be split in two. Fribourne County is an area with 26 lakes, a bike trail that is expanding from Albert Lea to Hayward, and a beautiful state park. Most importantly, though, Fribourne County is a community that works together to ensure our needs are met. Our latest priority has been ensuring access to healthcare. To my knowledge, we are the only county in the state without a full-service acute care hospital. Another concern with this proposed map is that the Albert Lea Area Schools School District will be split in two. Hayward and Twin Lakes are part of this school district and will, with the new drawn lines, will be in a separate house district and a separate Senate district than the rest of the school district. Additionally, my home and I work, Albert Lea and Glenville, which are less than 6 miles apart, would be in separate house districts. Although these are in two separate school districts, it is common for students in both districts to open enroll into the other. Some in Albert Lea prefer the smaller district of Glenville, and some in Glenville prefer the larger district of Albert Lea. The proposed lines would break this community apart. I feel that Fribourg County and Albert Lea area schools specifically will be best represented by being in the same, by the same representative. We share one representative. Another community that would be broken with the proposed lines would be the Fribourg Mauer counties. Right now, we are both in Senate District 27, and I feel that both of these counties together make up a community of interest. We share medical services. We have Mayo Health Systems, and we have one hospital, which the overnight stays in the birthing center are in Austin, and some of the other services are in Albert Lea. They say one hospital, two campuses. So patients travel from Fribourg to Mauer County to give birth and for other medical services, and from Mauer County to Fribourg County for medical services. We also share educational services between Albert Lea and Austin. They share a level 4 program, and Albert Lea is in Fribourg County. Austin is in Mauer County. And then the Alden, Grand Meadow, Glenville, Emmons, Lyle, Adams, and Leroy school districts are all within a SMEC that they share special education services, occupational therapy, speech language, et cetera. Many others commute across the county lines for work. I feel that Fribourg and Mauer counties will be best represented as we are today with one senator. Please consider keeping Fribourg County whole in one House district and Fribourg and Mauer counties together in one Senate district. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your thoughtful presentation and your reasoning.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yes. Any clarifying questions from the committee members? Seeing none. Thank you, Angie Hansen.
Yeah, thank you.
Lenny Finde.
Hello. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I just want to say thank you for all the hard work that you and the other committee members and the staff have put into publishing the maps that have been published so far. And I just want to take this opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Lenny Finde, and I am the General Counsel for the White Earth Nation. I am an enrolled member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I reside in Cass Lake, Minnesota, and I also currently serve as the Vice Chairman of the Cass Lake Bena School Board. I want to take this opportunity to support or express my support for the congressional map that was drawn, in particular the change in outstate Minnesota from an east to west access to a north to south access. From a north to south access to an east to west access, because that is very helpful for our tribal communities. I just very briefly want to mention that the tribal communities in Minnesota have existed and called the geographic area that we call Minnesota now home since before the United States existed, and indeed since before Minnesota statehood. My reservation, the Leech Lake Reservation, was established by the Treaty of 1855. Which was signed by my ancestors along with the President of the United States 3 years before Minnesota became a state. And so it's interesting as we think about the principles of redistricting today, how to categorize a people group who retain inherent sovereignty that is recognized by the United States Constitution and are definitely a community of interest. With a unique culture, a unique history, and shared family ties. but are spread out geographically due to the history of treaty making within throughout the country, but definitely within northern Minnesota. I feel that the committee's map for the congressional district appropriates this land tenure very well, and it includes all 7 Ojibwe reservations in 1 congressional district. And that is what we had asked for, and I want to express my gratitude to the committee for the hard work in accomplishing that. Secondly, I want to mention specifically with regard to the 3 largest reservations, the Red Lake Nation, the White Earth Nation, and the Leech Lake Reservation. These are the 3 largest reservations in the state of Minnesota. The tribal lands of these three reservations have a population of about 27,000 people. And represent a total enrolled tribal membership, both on reservation and off reservation, of almost 40,000 people. And so those numbers are important, and the communities of interest are also very important because our 3 reservations, again, have that shared history, that shared culture. And then also there's a lot of intermarriage between families among the 3 reservations. Now, in listening to the testimony tonight, you know, I hear a lot of folks speaking from the perspective of counties, Ottertail County, Freeborn County, et cetera. And that's very important. But one of the points that I want to go back to is that the Native people in Minnesota were here before those county lines were drawn, and our reservation lines were drawn before the county lines were drawn. And it would be very important, I think, to keep the 3 largest reservations in Minnesota in 1 district. And I know the chairman of the White Earth Reservation, Michael Fairbanks, testified before this committee, before the maps were drawn, in that same vein. Now, in the current map for the legislature, Senate District 2 has all 3 reservations within Senate District 2, and that's very good and very helpful, and we're appreciative of that. However, for the House District map, the 3 largest reservations are divided up among 2 different districts. Leech Lake is in House District 2B, and White Earth and Red Lake are in House District 2A. And that's the current structure that we're in right now with the state legislature, is that at least as it relates to the House, Leech Lake is in its own, and White Earth and Red Lake are in the same district. Now, what's different this time is in the Senate district, Leech Lake is in a completely Senate district, different Senate district from Red Lake and from White Earth. Currently, White Earth and Red Lake are in Senate District 2, and Leech Lake is in Senate District 5. So it is an improvement on the Senate district that all 3 of the reservations are together. However, as it relates to the House district, we're still in the same situation where we have 2 of the largest reservations in 1 district and the 3rd of the largest reservations in a completely separate district. We have been working, members of our tribe and tribal representatives have been working with GIS specialists, and we have been able to come up with a map that gets the 3 largest reservations together. We feel like this in 1 House district. And we feel like this map, the boundaries may not be as beautiful or as wide as other districts, but I think that it still passes constitutional muster because of the unique history of Native people, the status that Native people have as sovereign tribal governments recognized by the United States federal government with a direct government-to-government relationship with the federal government, and also all of the other attributes of the tribal community being the shared culture, the shared history, and that. As the second point in having 1 House district that includes the 3 largest reservations is that it would be, even though the district wouldn't be as square as or geographically and aesthetically pleasing as other districts is simply because the reservation boundaries were drawn before the county boundaries were drawn. So even though we may have, a sliver of Hubbard County in our proposal and a sliver of Clearwater County in our proposal, that shouldn't weigh against what we would like to see in having all three reservations in one district, simply because of the overriding fact that the reason we have these reservations in these geographic areas is because they were negotiated with the federal government before Minnesota was a state and before the counties even existed. So the proposal from White Earth, the request from White Earth, the request from Leech Lake, and the request from Red Lake is that if we can, to have one house district that includes Leech Lake, White Earth, and Red Lake. And we have worked with GIS technicians and based on census data, and we have been able to draw a district in that, a house district that meets that criteria, includes parts of Bemidji as well.
Okay, are you going to, are you submitting that as part of the court process?
Do you
have it available?
Yes, I do have it available, and I'm sorry, I haven't been able to submit it to the committee today, but I'm hoping to submit it first thing tomorrow morning.
All right, I did not know this. I'm not going to say anything more except we appreciated that. We had a training. I can't exactly remember, early November up at Boyce Fort with all the tribal leaders there and catching up on things we should have known, but have not known. That was so informative about the days and the lands before federal domination and with what happened, and that we did learn what you said about the reservations were there long before the counties were formed, and the homesteaded land and all that. We had discussions on that, and I felt that that was a good grounding for us and a basis for going forth in drawing the maps, but it wasn't as complete as you've given us in the last 10 minutes. So I really appreciate that you came to give this testimony, and we will certainly consider what you have told us this evening. Are there any clarifying questions, Representative Cleburne?
Thank you. I really greatly appreciate hearing from you, Mr. Fuente. If you could please just clarify for me, when you worked with GIS, and I'm very interested in seeing the map that you're describing, is it only the populated lands of the tribes, or is it all tribal lands?
It's primarily the populated areas of the tribal lands, yes. That's what the focus was on, yeah. Because there are significant pockets of tribal land that don't have any residents residing on there that are either forest land or water or swamp land. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'll look forward to seeing that, your map.
Thank you.
And you said, Mr. Finde, you said that there was part of Bemidji is in that?
Yes, in order to get to the about 42,000 or 43,000 people, there was 8,000 people from Bemidji that were included within that district. And I'm sorry I don't have it for you right now, but I will get it to you as soon as I can at the very latest tomorrow. And you'll be able to see it and you know, it can be part of the public record, I hope. And any other questions you have, I'd be happy to answer once that's seen.
Yeah. Thank you. You leave your phone number with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tom Diamond. Tom Diamond. Dimond? Tom Dimond?
Madam Chair, I think his microphone is muted.
Oh. Because you see him.
Yes, he is present. Yes.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Murphy. And,
there, now I can see you.
Yes, thank you. I like to commend you for the work that you've done. It's an amazing amount of work, and I commend you. And my discussion is focused on a very small area, and hopefully that you can make some minor adjustments that will help out us. And it really is in the area what is now currently District 67A and 67B on the east side of St. Paul. And I'll give you the lines that I would...
Excuse me for interrupting, just for clarification before I get mixed up.
Sure.
This is the current district, 67A and 67B.
Right. It's been renumbered. Thank you. Proposed renumber, yes. It'd be the east side of St. Paul. And I would like just tell you the lines, the general lines that I would suggest that would work better. And then I'll explain a couple of reasons why I think that works better. If you were to start at Lafayette Bridge, which is a dark line that crosses the Mississippi River just east of downtown St. Paul. If that were the west boundary of the district, the B district, and from there, East 7th, which is where the line is on the north side, if that line followed to the east, roughly two blocks to what is Sweet Hollow, it's a ravine, a creek bed. It's on your maps, it's the that squiggly line that goes north that doesn't have any roads or anything across it. North to Minnehaha, which is the east-west road that you'll see, the prominent road in the light blue on the map, just south of the dark blue, the other half of the district. If that were the other, and then the other boundary that I would say is Arcade or Highway 61, which is the dark blue line that has one cube or rectangle of blue on the left side. And what roughly I'm suggesting is that the population on the west side of Arcade would not be within the district, and that the north half of the district would come down roughly to Minnehaha. And that would allow the inclusion of the areas that I mentioned before to be retained in the district. Now, explain a couple of reasons why I think that is important to do. One is the area that we're talking about that is cut out of it is a bluff area. It's high terrain versus the area that to the west of it on the other side of the Sweet Hollow Creek or at Mounts Park This is bluffland that sits high up above the other, and the neighborhoods and the lands to the west generally are physically separated. And so the little chunks of neighborhood that would get cut out of this district, for example, this Upper Sweet Hollow neighborhood, is way up and physically separated from the district. It's just this little section separated from the land to the west. And they just really don't interact. They're different neighborhoods. The Mounts Park neighborhood, again, has a similar thing. It would not only be separated by physically the elevations, but by the river. And the other piece of why these are important, these are parts of district councils. We have not only the city council, and there's districts for the city council, but there's also what we have as district councils, and they're the working organization. They're elected community members to provide input to the city and to organize in the communities. And they represent these areas that would be split off. So they would not no longer, the areas they represent would be split up. The other piece of it is that Sweet Hollow, Wakan Tepe, Bruce Fenno Nature Center, Mounds Park, Battle Creek, Pigsite Lake are all public park areas that are being worked on to be as integrated recreational areas, but historic areas. And much of the work has been done around the Native community and the various elements of this within this public areas. And this would separate the maps where they are, would separate Wakan Tepe from the mounds, the Indian mounds, the burial mounds, and then they would be separated from the mounds south of there in the Battle Creek section, and they would be separated from the historic site of the Wakota village. So it would separate these elements and make it harder for planning and integration. Also, these neighborhoods that you're separating them from are the ones that have been working for decades to recognize these areas and develop park plans and get funding to do this. And now they would be part of a remote area that's across the river and on a different level than the rest of this area. So these areas have been working together for a long period of time, and with some minor adjustment, well, relatively minor adjustment, I think you could have a better fit in these areas. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So on the proposed map, are we talking district, mainly district 41B and 42A?
Yes. The real change would be for B, the south part, and the A would just be adjustments to for the population to work out.
Okay.
As I say, on the north-south, Minnehaha Avenue, that is actually a better line no matter what, and that helps balance the population by those adjustments.
All right, I don't have any other questions.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I took as many notes as I could get.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Well, it's almost over. Brad Wearsom.
Good evening, Chair Murphy and members of the Redistricting Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Your work is vitally important and complex, and I appreciate having the opportunity to share the perspective of my city and its residents with you. My name is Brad Wearsom, and I am the mayor of the city of Minnetonka. As a city, we fully support the principle of preservation of communities and the supporting concept that districts, quote, must minimize the division of identifiable communities of interest, end quote. It is our support of these fundamental concepts that provides the basis of my city's concern with the proposed redistricting map. First, the city of Minnetonka is currently well represented in the Minnesota legislature. There are three House districts and three Senate districts within the 28 square miles that encompass our city. A majority of the three House districts' geography and population are within Minnetonka. The same can be said for two of the three Senate districts in Minnetonka. Based upon the distribution of House and Senate districts, Minnetonka residents have access to strong representation at the Capitol. Second, the proposed map is not as kind to Minnetonka. To use terminology you have likely heard before, Minnetonka is pretty chopped up under the proposed scenario. Minnetonka residents end up with more representatives, but less true representation. Communities of interest are divided. Specifically, Minnetonka loses critical mass in terms of representation. Of the proposed seven districts in Minnetonka, four House and three Senate, not one of them would have the preponderance of the legislative district's geography and population located within the city of Minnetonka. Clearly, Minnetonka residents' interests would be underrepresented in St. Paul if the proposed map were to be implemented. Third, fundamental fairness is an important issue in redistricting. Only the first-class cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul are similarly fragmented with numerous partial districts within their borders. The compelling difference between the circumstances of the Minneapolis-St. Paul proposal and the Minnetonka proposal is that there are numerous full House and Senate districts within the boundaries of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Minnetonka would stand alone as a significant city having only partial, non-majority House and Senate district fragments within the borders of our city. To conclude, I am very proud of my city. We are a fortunate community, and our 54,000 residents typically ask for relatively little from the state. Minnetonka does not receive LGA. We are a net contributor to fiscal disparities. We work to be a regional leader and a contributor to the well-being of the state and our region. We are proud to be part of this great state. It is vitally important to the city of Minnetonka and the voices that the voices of our residents are heard, and that one or more of our legislators are fully invested in the city of Minnetonka. We ask that the district boundaries better reflect the fair and reasonable needs of Minnetonka residents. I thank you for your time and consideration this evening.
Mayor, am I correct that Minnetonka has a population of 53,781?
At the last census, that's correct.
Yeah. And so, and now you have three House districts, three House representatives, and three Senate districts, three
that's
senators,
that,
and
that's
three
correct.
Senators?
Yes.
And do they all live in Minnetonka?
Let's see. Two of the three senators live in Minnetonka. And all of the House, and two of the three House representatives live in Minnetonka as well.
Okay. And you're opposed to having four House people and three Senate people as the new map proposes.
Right. Opposed to that. And our concern is that most of each of the districts would not be in Minnetonka, meaning from a size and population perspective. So we would go from having districts that the population and the geography was predominantly in Minnetonka to districts where the population of each of the districts and the geography of each of the districts was predominantly outside of Minnetonka. We would have no districts, either in the House or the Senate, that were predominantly in Minnetonka.
And how much of Minnetonka is the Minnetonka School District?
35%. And Minnetonka, 55% of Minnetonka is in the Hopkins School District, and 10% of Minnetonka is in the Wayzata School District. And I stand corrected, only one of our senators lives in Minnetonka. I misspoke on that, I apologize. So unlike many cities, our school districts and our city boundaries are pretty dissimilar. And that creates challenges, I think, for all of you.
Okay, the 10% for the school district, who does that belong to?
Wayzata, the Wayzata School District.
Okay.
And a little further color on that, for example, Hopkins High School is in the city of Minnetonka, and Minnetonka High School is in the city of Minnetonka. The one unique thing about the Wayzata School District is, although 10% of our city is in the Wayzata School District, there are no Wayzata School District schools physically in the city of Minnetonka.
Oh. Okay. Representative Cleburne?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. And Mayor Wehrstrom, it's very good to see you. I see you often in our Northwestern suburban meetings. I just think it's important to have a little context about what's happening around us, right? So Plymouth and Minnetonka work very closely together. We share a senator. So you and I are uniquely tied in this conversation, and I appreciate where you're coming from. The problem that we're having in all of these suburban districts are where the growth has happened and where communities grew and where communities have needed to pick up population. So for example, 33B to your west, the current 33B I'm talking about, okay, to your west, they needed to add 1,217. Hopkins to your east needed to get smaller by 1,165. 48A to your south needed to grow by 1,626. Edina, again, to your east, needed to shed 835. Then here we sit in Plymouth, right? And we had the district that I represent, as I've said last night, has to shed 68. So there is, and Maple Grove has the same problem. Maple Grove has more than 8,000 residents in overpopulation for the districts. So when we're looking at this suburban puzzle, it is very complicated. But I want you to know that I hear the comments that you're making and the concerns that you're expressing. It is a lot of change happening in our Northwestern community. But I just wanted to give some context about what's happening around Minnetonka.
Right. And that's one of the challenges because, you know, it's not like our current setup is ideal. I mean, we're already pretty chopped up. But for us to go from a circumstance where we had pretty good chunks of Minnetonka in these districts, and we know that the voice that we have, we're not talking personalities here, we're talking about geography and population. We had a majority voice with our state representatives at least in several cases, and now we go to a city of significance, a city of 54,000 people, and we are in the unique position where we have very fragmented representation. We have no representatives that are majority concerned about the welfare of the city of Minnetonka. We're competing with our neighboring communities. I understand the complexity you face, but I think that we're going from chopped up to more chopped up without any compensation on any compensating benefits. And I think we're not looking for a dramatically improved map versus what we have. We just don't want it to be dramatically worse than the challenging map we already have.
I would say thank you.
But then where do those 4,000 people and those 8,000 people and those 1,000 people that are in those districts that have to get smaller, where are they supposed to go?
Is that for me? I don't
I don't know. I don't think it is for you. I just think where are they supposed to go? Where does this balloon, do they become an ear or do they become a tail or whatever of the animal balloon?
Well, exactly. I mean, that is why I said earlier that I respect the complexity of the work that you do. This is not easy. And, you know, you're constantly facing the issue. And I know my counselor hears me say this too much, but, you know, let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And what you're trying to do is you're not going to come up with perfect. But we hope that at least as far as, well, as everybody is concerned, but certainly Minnetonka is concerned, you can come up with something a bit better than what we've got right now. Because our community has grown by about, we grew in the last census about 4,000 residents. So it's not like we're shrinking, but we went from 49 and change to almost 54 and change. So we've grown by, 53 and change. So we've grown by about 4,000 residents.
Yeah. And every district has grown in the number of people that it has to have, that it gets to have.
Yes.
Because of the increased 400,000 people that came into the state population increase.
Right, right. Now this, I mean, our perspective really reflects the challenge of the work that you do. Is we want our residents to have a voice, and we don't want it to be meaningfully diminished from what it is now. We're not necessarily, again, trying to improve our lives versus where we stand today, but we don't want to have it be a big setback in terms of the representation that our residents expect and enjoy.
Well, you've brought it to our attention in a very nice way and a way that we will consider. And I can't say anything more than that.
I understand. Well, thank you so much for your hard work. And I appreciate it. It's been an honor to be with you tonight.
Yeah. And it's been an honor to be listening tonight because this has been, things have been brought to us that we have not heard before, and things have been brought to us that we didn't consider enough when we were going through the process. And so the listening sessions are a good thing.
We all learn.
We all learn, and we all hopefully make wiser decisions. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that forth to us. We appreciate your comments and all the comments of the people that spoke so well tonight and brought to the attention their problems and their issues and their anxious, why does it have to be us? And there are members on this committee that are saying, why does it have to be me? And we will try to take the information that we have received and do something with it. Thank you. We will be discussing all these notes in the next few days. And next week, we hope to have a product that passes the committee. We'll see. That concludes the agenda for today and concludes our public comment segment. Our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, December 9th at 2 p.m., where we will consider amendments submitted to the proposed legislative maps, SNAP L2101-O and map C2101-O that we have had over 3 hours of hearings on from the public. And that ends our public committal process or testimonial process that we allowed for in our planning and invited and treasure because of the people that participated yesterday and today and in every listening session that the House has had since May. We appreciate very much the care of the people that brought their ideas forward to us for our consideration. Redistricting is not convenient or is not comfortable for those that are tasked with being on the redistricting committee or for those that are faced with having their districts change. It is still my belief, more so than ever before, that we have a product, a legislative product that passes this committee and is considered by the House of Representatives. And meets up with something from the state Senate and is conferred and is forwarded, voted on by the Senate and is voted on by the House and is forwarded to Governor Walz for signature. Like I said, this isn't a comfortable or a convenient process. But it is a constitutional responsibility that we accepted when we took our oath of office. As a state representative, we are charged by the Constitution of the state of Minnesota to draw the boundaries after every census. And the year is 2021. And we should have something prepared for the 2022 session. And I think we can, and I think we can, we must fulfill our constitutional and our legislative duty. No matter how many times, members of this committee, no matter how many times I've heard, well, we know it'll end up in the court. We don't know that. And we have heard from so many Minnesotans that have testified to us for their consideration that it is our responsibility to do this. And I ask for your cooperation and your ideas and your proposed amendments. And next week, your attendance and your consideration to do our legislative duty. Is there any other comments or questions or anyone that wants to say something else? Seeing none, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.